Hey, Len, can you hear me? Because I can't hear anything yet.
I think it's because we're not using our microphones.
Yeah,
I just wanted to make sure we were
mute
good
yourself.
here.
We're just waiting for one more board member to come to the room because we only have four board members present in the room.
Yeah.
So we're waiting. We know that two others are coming and one has already emailed with, oh, the other, okay, we can start in just a second. Stephanie, we're almost ready. Thank you for waiting. I hit record on everything, right? Leon?
Oh, it's okay. Red is off, I assume. Yes.
This is the stuff of nightmares.
Can you hear me now?
We're good to go. Thank you.
All right, everyone, I'd like to call to order this meeting of the Champaign County Mental Health Board, Wednesday, March 20th, 2024. Can I get a roll call, please?
Lisa Liggins Chambers.
Here.
Chris Miner.
Here.
Molly McClay.
Here.
Joe Omosagie.
Here.
Elaine Palencia.
Here.
Jen Straub.
Yes.
Jane Sprandel. John Paul Joachim.
All right, and I understand we may have board members who are present online who would like to be.
Mm-mm.
Nope, we
nope.
do not. If that happens, let me know.
Okay.
All right, next up we have our agenda for approval, so I'd like to entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
So move, Straub.
Thank you. Second?
I second.
Thank you very much. All those in favor of approving agenda, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The agenda is approved. Next, we have the Champaign County Mental Health Board and Developmental Disabilities Board schedules, as well as the Mental Health Board meeting timeline. And these are on pages 3 through 7 of the packet. Any questions or comments or concerns? Seeing none, we next have the Champaign County Mental Health Board acronyms and glossary available for your reference on pages 8 through 20. Any questions, concerns? Next up, we have our citizen input public participation section, and this is for folks who are in the room and or may be online as well. So all are welcome to attend the board's meeting to observe and offer thoughts during this time. I may limit public participation to 5 minutes per person and or 20 minutes total. Does anyone have anything they would like to share with the board? All right, seeing none, we will move on to chairperson's comments, which is today me. My name is Molly McClay. I'm the Vice President and Secretary of the Champaign County Mental Health Board, and I'm serving in this role this evening as our president, Dr. John Paul Joachim, is in Disney World. Lucky him. So I just like to thank everyone for being here tonight. I know this is a particularly busy season for the Mental Health Board and for our agencies with our funding application season rolling along here. So thank you so much to all of our board staff for their busy, busy work reviewing and making recommendations, and to our board members who have been assigned some applications to review. We may discuss a little tonight, but for the most part, that'll likely be reserved for our April and May meetings. And thanks also to all of our agencies who submitted applications, earlier this year, and for all of the work that you're doing right now. And those are my comments. So next, I will move on to our executive director's comments from Lynn.
So, hi. I will apologize. The business is light tonight, and one of the reasons that we even have a March meeting is so that you can review and approve the annual report for 2023. But as has happened for a number of years, the financials are not ready, so we can't bring you the annual report until April. And so there you are in April reviewing all these applications, and you're also going to be presented with the annual report. So I'll do my best to send you things as we complete them. Like, that's something that could be completed fairly soon, so you have a little bit of extra time to review. I apologize for that. It's been this for a long time, and apparently all over the state, auditors' offices have a lot more to do to close out a year, and then especially if there are grants that have reimbursement, like then, and we don't, but it's such a big deal that there's actually some legislation about revising the act so that we're not required to do it in March, that we'll have a few extra months. So that'll be a little bit of extra work in April. There's another business item that might come up. I'm not ready to announce that. It's some housekeeping related to current contracts. I hope we don't have to do it, but we might have to. What else? We are very, very occupied with the review of applications right now. It takes a lot of time, but it's really kind of interesting. And when I step back from them, as I have had to do today, to do other things, I really appreciate where we are, that we live in a community with so many organizations willing to do this work, and some of the proposals are really lovely, and I don't know, just there's a little bit to celebrate in there as we get ready to do the really hard stuff, the review and what's going to be a little bit of a competitive decision period. So, like, that's all kind of hard. I do not have an updated budget amount. I think last month I told you it was 3.41% was the CPI increase. Not all of that goes directly to contracts because of other things that we have to pay for. But the estimate always gets adjusted through the season, so I checked last week. No adjustment yet, but maybe next month I'll have a better projection, and that would make this a little bit less competitive. Otherwise, that's what we've been up to, and I don't know. That's why the agenda's kind of light, because we couldn't do some of those other things quite yet. So anyway, that's it.
Being that I don't normally chair this, I am grateful that it's maybe a little lighter. We're going to make a comment.
Study session next week.
Yes, very important. We will have a study session next week with some very excellent content planned. I was wondering, Lynn, could you talk a little more about the legislation that is being proposed, just anything you might know about it regarding the annual report stuff that might not have to be due anymore at this time?
So it's not available yet for, I don't even know where it's at, like what committee, but there's a House bill and a Senate bill that both propose changes to the Community Mental Health Act. Nobody's working on the DD Act. But at some point, I mean, there's just so few developmental disabilities boards around the state that, you know, it hasn't really attracted as much attention. But because Illinois is a state-run state and has not invested sufficiently into a community-based mental health system or substance use system, lots and lots of counties and townships and cities have decided to start mental health boards, so to tax their communities extra in order to pay for more community-based services. And as they've done that, so there are some problems associated with starting it, getting it started. Some of those problems are highly political, and some of the solutions are being sought through legislative action. And one of the actions that was taken last year created a problem for boards like us. It created the need for additional elections every time somebody was appointed. This was an accident, but it was a function of solving these other communities' problems. So we said, we through our state association said, if you're going to be messing around with the Community Mental Health Act, there's more than a few things in there that you should fix. And so we have now the attention of several representatives and one senator to work on some of those fixes. One is the annual report cannot be done within 90 days. No one is able to complete their audits of previous fiscal years that fast. So that's one thing. To clean up this election requirement so that in a community like ours where there's just high turnover on the board, and that is okay, and that's a feature of our community, not a negative, that we can just have one election each year. Another one is to expand what mental health boards can do. They have the authority to fund scholarships, but that doesn't really make a lot of sense for a local funder to do, because you'd have absolutely no guarantee that you'll get any return on that investment. So we ask them to expand it to other types of educational assistance, including the things we hear about all the time, licensure fees, certification fees, even stipends for people returning from the field to school for advanced degree work or licensure. So we've asked, there's quite a bit of language around that. The statute was designed at a time when the Department of Human Services really did run the state agencies and the behavioral health system, and now it's split so that Health Care and Family Services has even more authority, really, and authority over more money than Department of Human Services does. So we've asked them to update the statute to include any other state authorities besides DHS, you know, in addition to DHS, who then need to communicate with us. That's the thing. Not that DHS really communicates with us, but you know, it's aspirational, so why not fix it? So, and there might be a couple of other things in there. There's, you know, there are only two counties in the whole state who have a county executive form of government, and Champaign County spent a lot of money resolving the question of who has the appointing authority. So now, in case anybody else ever asks the question, and maybe for Will County's sake, they're changing the statute to say the executive has the authority. It's, I was talked to that senator's office yesterday and said, you know, thank you. This would have been great 6-7 years ago, but thank you anyway. So I think that's the main, that's a lot. So we'll see when it comes up for you know, for them to be discussing. We might ask y'all to file witness slips in support of the changes.
It's nice that, like, after they sort of people went in and maybe made some changes with unintended consequences, now it's like, well, let's go in and maybe make some changes of some things we really need. So I'm sorry to put you on the spot. I was just very intrigued to hear that and wanted to know more of what was going on. So thank you. So next up, we have our Champaign County Mental Health Board meeting minutes from our February 21st meeting. So I'd like to entertain a motion to approve these minutes as listed, or potentially if any revisions are needed.
I'll make a motion to approve these minutes as listed.
Can I get a second?
I'll second.
All right. Why am I tripping over my words? All those in favor of the motion to approve are...
Do you want discussion?
Oh, yes. Thank you for reminding me. Any discussion? You can say something. Thank you for the reminder. All those in favor of approving the February 21st minutes of the Champaign County Mental Health Board meeting as listed, say aye. All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. We will then move on to the vendor invoice lists on pages 25 through 36. Any questions or comments?
Oh, I just wanted to, I noticed that on page two of all of that, you've got a mileage things, and but the word unknown keeps coming up. Does that mean staff, unknown staff, travel costs on page two of the account detail? And I just didn't know.
Oh, in the additional account detail?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, page two of those things. And that's. But I guess it would be page 31 of the whole thing. Yeah.
In the vendor.
Yeah.
In the vendor invoice list, there. Yeah. I didn't see an unknown, but this is.
But this is in the travel costs.
Yeah.
I just wondered why. I'd never seen that word on the.
Well, I wonder if Chris is on the Zoom call. Maybe he can explain that. But that's
staff. Is it?
Oh, it's absolutely staff. On the vendor invoice list, it will show, I think this is probably a little bit, everybody did a little bit of mileage reimbursement, and then I had like the big honking one.
Yeah, I saw
but
that.
But maybe Chris, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear me, Lynn?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, great. It just basically, it has to do with our wonderful accounting system. Essentially, every vendor number is assigned a vendor name, and in our accounting system, there is one number in which it just counts as a general employee, and then I manually type in that person's name. So that's why it says unknown, because it's just a blank field that I then enter manually myself.
Okay, thank you. I knew it was staff. It had to be, but it was just an odd detail. Thanks.
Yeah, if you look up at the categories directly above it, you can see that's where the vendors' names are, MCS Office Technology, University of Illinois, and then directly below that is where it says unknown, because it's manually done.
Thank you so much for that explanation. Any other comments, questions? All right, I'd like to entertain a motion to approve the vendor invoice lists.
I move to approve the vendor invoice list.
Can I get a second?
Seconded.
Got a double second over there. Any discussion? Seeing none, as we've already had some. All those in favor of approving the vendor invoice list, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The vendor invoice lists are approved. That ends my motion asking for a while, thank goodness. And next we have the staff reports on pages 37 through 69. And right now we have a staff report, a conference memo from Lynn, and other staff members have been working very, very, very diligently on reviewing the application. So those staff reports are deferred for now. But Lynn, is there anything you want to share about your memo?
Would you be mad if I had anything to add? I feel like that would be so mean.
Why would it be mean?
Because I put in everything. I even like found links to the just this goes out to county board members and to state association members and to all of you and to the DD board, and it really isn't. I don't expect you to do anything at all with it. It's just part of the deal. If I go to a conference, I'm going to bring you back information. And Some of it might be helpful. Maybe later it'll be helpful. Sometimes I go back to these when we're working on strategic planning and priorities. But for right now, it's the... I'm sorry.
I found it aspirational. Like, if I ever go to anything and make sure to organize my thoughts around each session in this detail, I will be so proud of myself, Lynn.
I think I tried to do that once, and then it just, like, ended by halfway through. But you were very busy. I know you said that you had kind of, like, back-to-back 6 days of conferences and not just the same one. So thank you for your work and everything that you have shared with us. Any questions from the board or potentially online? I heard voices. Any questions, further comments from the board? All right, we will move on to new business. The excitement of the hour is a one-pager on page 70, and this is the list of PY25 applications for funding, as well as we have a list of all the applications, their requests, the agencies that have provided the applications, and then we have primary and secondary reviewers assigned to each. Is there anything that you wanted to mention, Lynn, about the list? I'll go to you first.
You have an eagle eye, and you noticed that I left an amount off, and that's that one application made to the IDD Special Initiatives Fund. I didn't put the amount in there. I think I didn't put it in there because I've got these other totals down there, and I was like, that's not going to look nice. But I think we determined earlier something like $223,000 or $232,000. It was in last month's board packet, and it will be there next month as well. So thank you for noticing that.
Well, when I said, do you have anything to add, I wasn't even referencing that. I had it gotten my eye down the page far enough to remember that I had noticed that. But there it is. The total is in a message somewhere that you had sent me. 232033.
Apologize for the oversight. But this is not everything you're going to be funding. It's everything that we have to review and make decisions about. There are a number of contracts that are already approved because they were two-year contracts that started last year. So the list you saw last month was really complex because it included all those amounts. Hopefully this is easier to read, and this defines what's ahead of us for April.
Do we have any comments, preliminary comments or questions from the board?
I do.
Let's go for it.
I see one of these wonderful organizations has no audit. Are they the only one that hasn't got that taken care of now? Okay. Are we moving forward with the evaluations, or is it going to withhold payment until we get the audit, or how are we doing that?
Remember I said there was a mystery about the April board meetings? No, it's okay. This is fine. There are four agencies with outstanding audits who are currently funded. There are three who are not funded right now, no audits. We're not pressuring them because we don't know if they ever want to come back and do business. They do owe us audits. They know it, but, you know, no pressure. But for the three... This one, Wind Recovery, is the only one that doesn't have a two-year contract. So it's the only one that we will need to evaluate. And I thought about not reviewing it, but we are working on a program summary. So, you know, it's in Leon's hands right now. We've been talking about it, about the application, not about the audit. But last month or January, I think you gave us approval to... If we need to delay evaluation of anything or decision about it, it will be for the things where we don't have an audit yet, because they're technically not eligible for funding until we have the audit. Okay.
I have a question.
You may have covered this, but I don't remember hearing it. Is there a structure for reviewing applications or a checklist or for new people? How will I, for example, speaking for myself, how will we know if all parts are complete by the these wonderful companies?
Well, there's a checklist that a board member developed several years ago that we update every year, and that was in the January packet, but I haven't sent it out to y'all. Like, I need to email you that so you can use it. And if you don't want to use it, that's totally fine. We're not, the structure that we use has detail that comes from outside the applications too. It contains historical information, information from the audits, compliance information. It's very detailed. So I could, if you want, send you a sample of one of those.
That would be nice.
And you all don't have to do anything with those. That's us. You can tell us you hate it and we should do something different, but you don't have to do them. That's us.
I would like that. Thank you. I mean, any type of document to help, not because I mean, honestly, I wouldn't know if they're asking for too much money or if they have everything completed in the application properly. I mean, I just say, this looks good. I don't want to do that. So, and it probably does look great, but I want to make sure that I know exactly what I'm doing when I review. Is that okay?
I will say that the staff do such a thorough job of reviewing the applications that I don't think that we as board members should feel too much pressure, just if that helps at all.
No, I appreciate that. I don't feel pressure. I just feel like I don't know what I'm doing.
And I understand that. I'm new as well, but I've looked at some of the actual submissions already, I believe. And I just kind of look through and try to see what doesn't make sense to me. But like you, a checklist might be better because maybe I'm doing it wrong. But yeah, that's kind of how I looked at two of them. It's like, that doesn't make sense. Why are they doubling this? And what are they really proving anything or doing anything, giving it results?
And I don't want to be too hard. So I want to calm myself a little bit because I could see myself being harder than necessary. And I don't want to do that.
And I think if I recall from like last year, because last year was my first year doing the reviews, I think my first meeting the previous year was allocating all the funding, which I hadn't been a part of the review process. But like the meetings in April, the board members kind of each for the ones that they were reviewing, and we can review all of the applications as well, but the ones where we're the primary or secondary, we sort of take the lead on like describing the application, mentioning different components of it, and we have an opportunity to ask questions to agencies who might be present or to form questions that we might then ask later or the staff might ask, things like that. And I think I may have used, when I was doing my reviews last time, I think I probably used the checklist to some degree and then kind of morphed something for myself that had like a note going on my iPad that sort of had different categories that I wanted to make sure I wrote down notes about that I could talk about at the meeting. But I also felt like, I don't know, what am I doing? And then kind of as we went along, hearing from other board members and kind of seeing kind of, you know, maybe some of us had different perspectives on things. Maybe we had similar ones. That was really helpful to kind of just hear what other board members thought. And then all that information that's discussed in the April meeting then kind of goes into our May discussions about the actual decisions. So we won't be making any decisions in April, which is nice. We have some time with the applications first. But I would definitely love to hear any other board members who want to share their process on the process.
Well, when I, many years ago, started out with the Disabilities Board, I remember that the question, the basic question is, what is the board buying? And that's what you is the best thing to keep in mind. And we've had some applications where I couldn't figure that out, really. You know, I could see they wanted money for sort of general things, but I couldn't see what the board was buying. And so, not often, but it happens. And so that's where your questions would go to that agency. So that's just a big kind of umbrella concept to keep in mind, because it is transactional. We are buying something. We're not just handing out money because somebody would like to try something.
So what is a service that's being provided? And that's really, I mean, Rattle the Stars, which was one of the agencies we funded several years ago. And for the first few years, they provided that service very well. And as time, and I think the pandemic was, I mean, they were a casualty of the pandemic. And so they're no longer an organization that provides services. But what service are they providing? And have they been able to tell us how they're going to provide each service? How much money goes here, what goes here, how much is for staff, how much is for different things. So, and a lot of times, most of our agencies are able to express where the money would go. And that's what you're looking at. Where is this going?
I also found, like, kind of looking at assessment metrics where, like, kind of knowing how do you know what you're doing is working and by what mechanisms are you assessing that, looking at, like, how many people are you reaching with the services. And one thing that was that's always mentioned that I find particularly important is what kind of collaborations does this program have with other agencies and other programs. Sometimes those things will be spelled out extremely in detail, and sometimes not so much. So that's another thing that we could ask questions about as well.
The evaluation capacity building program has helped so much because new agencies especially often were very well-meaning, but they didn't know how to keep data or to express how many. One of the biggest questions is, how many people are you serving? That's very important. Are you duplicating services? You know, so that it looks like you've got. I remember a couple of years ago there was a program, or maybe it was last year, a new program, and they had 12 different programs that they wanted to do. But we were thinking, but is it the same 6 kids going through 12 different activities? You know, and as it turned out, that program withdrew before we came to a decision because they realized they weren't ready. You know, they hadn't planned as well. So, So who's being served and how many, and is there duplication of service is another thing. But all of that has gotten a lot clearer over the years, don't you think, Lynn? And
it's very hard with this set of contracts to figure out exactly how many people without duplication, because we don't ask for names of clients or for their, you know, in their Medicaid ID number or any individual identifier. So I always assume there's a degree of duplication, but the services are also very diverse. So,
And there needs to be, in some cases, like a family being helped and then an individual in a family, and that's an overlap. But just being aware, because we have had in the past situations where you figure out, well, wait a minute, this is a lot of money for how many people, and I know have dropped agencies because of finding that out. You can ask them, you know, you can say this, we can't figure this out. How many are you actually serving? So.
And I think go ahead. Another piece that is important is kind of looking at where are programs potentially getting funding from other sources? What percentage of the funding being requested, what percentage of the total funding is coming from us, because as the County Mental Health Board per, you know, legislation, we're the funder of last resort. So if our funding isn't needed, then we need to know that, so that we can, you know, have those discussions. If there's other funding sources that are being utilized or could be utilized, then that is also important information. And what is I found extremely helpful is the reviews that the staff created, just really pulled together all the information from the applications and lay it out in a very clear way so that we can find all the information that we might want to know as we're reviewing.
And for me, it's always, I always try to see how are these agencies collaborating with one another, because I think a lot of times, I mean, I believe very much that we've got to create a way in which these agencies work together, because one agency cannot do it all by themselves. And so is DREAM collaborating with Don Moyers? Is Don Moyers collaborating with Urbana Neighborhood Connections on all those things? How are they collaborating with one another?
Any other thoughts or questions? Oh, go for it, Lynn.
I'm going to speak for myself, and if Leon starts nodding, then I'll be like, yay, but you might have a really different experience of this. But the hardest thing for me to do with these reviews that we're putting together for you is summarize, because when I get into the applications, like, I really get absorbed. And then I want to, like, reduce some of the narratives to a manageable, like, just a few words summarizing. But it's hard. Like, it doesn't even matter if they're really well written or not. There's a richness that gets lost when I start boiling it down. And I feel like, no, that's not how these programs should be represented to you. So I hope that you will read the applications, the original applications, in, you know, I know that I'm fully, like, destroying the impact of some of their work when I try to boil it down for you, but we're trying to get to, like, 5 pages. I don't know. Am I wrong, Leon, or what do you think?
No, I think you're spot on. I think it's a serious challenge to take pages and pages of work and then condense it down to just a few pages and then, you know, present it to you all. There is so much work that goes into just trying to put the best, create the best product and present to you, because it takes hours just to take a look at the outputs, the inputs, to look at all of the metrics, to look at the financial components. Everything that you all have mentioned is part of what we look at when we, you know, start narrowing things down. And so the list goes on. I mean, I already have like 8 or 9 things that I look at. And so you all have kind of mentioned half of those. So, yeah.
I mean, I guess I would like to respond back, because I hear the difficulty in putting this together, which, you know, makes me appreciate the effort very much, but also just acknowledging you all as the staff have so much interaction with these programs. Lynn, I don't, the phrase destroying the impact, I can't agree with that. But I think that raises an important point of making sure to read the applications themselves and the reviews, and really just kind of noticing what kind of the key pieces of what are the impacts of these programs, kind of in the program's own words, but also in the words of the board staff that work with them on a daily basis. Is that
just
okay?
Like, then? Some of the stuff, some of the things that Leon listed, you're right, it takes time, but those things are easy to me compared to when they write about this is the big one, when they write about how they promote inclusion, some of the things that the agencies are telling you are so good, and then I'm like taking all the words out to come up with a few keywords, and the meaning is now gone too. And I feel really bad about that, but their original statements are there, still there. So okay.
It's a both and. There's value in reading both, for sure. But definitely want to highlight, you know, the importance of everything that the programs themselves are sharing with us in these applications, and everything the staff is sharing too. So, any further discussion about the application list?
As of right now, all I see, there's only one new agency, and GCAP is not really new. It's just new to us.
I feel like they're more active now than they've been in a while in our neighborhood, in our community, which is really great.
Yeah, I had noticed that this as well, kind of the past couple of years. So I'm very excited to discuss all the applications, especially whenever we get new applications from agencies that haven't applied before, that or programs that haven't applied before. It's very exciting. All right. Any last thoughts before we move on? Excellent discussion about the applications and this process. So next up, we have the program year 2023 IDD service activity data on pages 71 through 87. So Lynn, I wasn't sure if you want me to turn this over to you or, we have Kim is online to share some information about this.
There she is.
Maybe. I wasn't prepared to share information.
I thought
there might be questions. I can just say that these are claims that are put into our online reporting system by the DD agencies. Not every program is required to report claims, but you can see in the report those that are required. And so this is an aggregate of all of those claims. And it's a lot of claims, like tens of thousands of lines of data. So if there's any questions, please do let me know. I don't have anything else to share other than what is in the report.
Thank you for adding context, and sorry for putting you on the spot.
No, that's okay. I just was like, I wasn't prepared for that part.
Any questions or comments?
Can I make a comment? Kim hears me say this a lot. This is my most favorite thing that we do all year, because this is based on individualized data. So we can tell you exactly how many people were served, unduplicated numbers, throughout the entire set of DD's services. There are some family supports where they're not asked to report that, but I think the value of peer support and family support is really different than individual services. So I just love it, and I know Kim spends a lot of time getting this right, and then there's some analysis of how people utilize the different services, and we can even see how they travel through the system, where they start, what they might do next, if they don't like it, where they go next. It's really fascinating to me, but so it's really here for your information, and it's a data triumph.
Thank you very much for sharing that, and it is, I love data triumph, I would agree. And beautiful pie charts. Any other comments or questions? All right, seeing none, we will move to old business. And our first item is an update from the evaluation capacity building project. So we have representatives on Zoom. Oh, not on Zoom, in person, from the U of I Family Resiliency Center, our evaluation capacity building team, to provide an update to us. So take it away.
Is this, wow. Ooh, I feel really powerful now. It's nice to finally meet all of you in person, and so I'm happy to be here and give an update. We've been working really hard on the technical assistance and the micro-learnings, and we've started to put together the first-year report of the activities that we've been working on. And so most recently, we started a working group with members of local agencies to move some action items forward with feedback from people who are directly doing the work every day. And so we're hoping for some good mutual learning opportunities and continuing to move the evaluation work forward. And so that's a very brief summary, and I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
How many agencies are you working with right now?
We're working with three directly, and so we've made progress on logic models and some planning moving forward. And then there's additional agencies represented within that working group that we just started.
I was definitely struck by the fact that you were already ready for a report of the first year, because it feels like it was just yesterday that this started. You talked about the micro learnings. Would you be willing to speak to that a little bit more, some of the things that you're working on in that area?
Of course, yes. So the one that we're creating, a modular system, is for logic models and making sure that they're being used as useful tools and aren't just something that get created and set off to the side, because I think that happens a lot. It's something evaluators get really psyched about, and they're like, hey, look at this logic model, and then they don't end up getting used. So our hope is that they become useful through one of those micro learnings where we're breaking it down using some, there's some corniness involved, and we're really excited about it. And we hope you all get excited about it too. And then we're also creating a very brief micro learning on not under delivering, and over promising. And then we're also going to do a micro learning that is linked to the logic model on reporting outputs versus reporting outcomes and what that looks like in practice.
I'm sorry, do we have paperwork about this? Or?
No, there's nothing.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I'm just a little bit lost.
Oh, totally fine, yes. Happy to answer any additional questions you have as well.
Actually, I'm a little lost as well. I've only been here since January, so I don't know the organization. What exactly are you doing? Yeah.
Okay, great.
I apologize for this, but yeah, there's nothing to read up on. So.
Yes, no problem. So I am with the Family Resiliency Center at UIUC, and so I'm working for Jacinda Dariotis. I moved here to work with her from North Carolina, and so she's been doing evaluation for decades, and I'm approaching about a decade. Oh, that sounds, I'm getting up there. And so we are charged with improving the evaluation capacity of local agencies. So trying to pinpoint some of the challenges that agencies might have with really showcasing the good work that they're doing. And that's our perspective, is that these organizations are doing really wonderful work, and the skill sets aren't quite there for being able to showcase those in something like an annual report to seek additional funding. And so our hope is that by doing things like logic models, so shifting through what resources are going in, what they're able to do with the resources, and then the expected outcomes as a result of those, our hope is that we're fine-tuning some of those skills and using skills that are already there and enhancing them in a way that is making those final reports more understandable and make it really showcase the impact. And so we're doing those through some of those activities. So this first year has been largely formative. So doing interviews with agency leaders and doing essentially a large group assessment, I'll call it a needs assessment, to figure out what the strengths and challenges are. And then the working group and the micro learnings are stemming from what we've learned there to make sure that everything is being informed and useful for the agencies.
Yeah, I wanted to add, I know the board has had a long history of working on evaluation capacity building with agencies. And I know when I started when I joined the board in 2022, around that time is when the team that was working on it in the U of I Department of Psychology was transitioning away from the project. So then we had a request for proposals for to determine who the new research team would be, and the Family Resiliency Center was chosen. So it's been really exciting to see what you all have done with the agencies, definitely learning about the group level assessment and some of the strategies you use to kind of gather feedback from agencies is really important. And I think this kind of remembering that the heart of it is like the goal is to build agencies' capacity to do evaluation themselves and to really showcase the great work that they're doing and like helping them with that instead of just having a team come in to do all the surveys themselves. So that's something that I really appreciated about the project.
Yes, and we are very passionate and excited about it, genuinely. So it's fun to listen and put pieces together as I'm pulling pieces from when you're talking just now, and it's been a great experience so far. So thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
Is it ongoing research, or is this is the first year? How long is this going to go on? I'm just curious.
I'm actually not sure what the full length of this project period is. Lynn,
it's May 1st to April 30th. Of this year and then next year, and then there's an option to renew for 2 more years, and then just legal advice that we should never, when we get to 4 years, we need to do a new bid or a new decision process with regard, you know, like relevant to whatever the investment is.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? All right. Well, thank you so much for coming and sharing with us this evening. It's really exciting what you all are doing and what the agencies are taking part in as well. So thank you again. Next up, we have a report on our Disability Resource Expo and some materials on pages 88 and 89. So some information about our upcoming event, upcoming is a ways away, but it's still very much in process now. But the expo will be on October 26th of this year. So Lynn, would you like to share about this?
Well, I don't have sponsorship and exhibitor brochures quite yet, or the press release. I would have loved to include those because we are so lucky this year that we know the date and the place. I think it's been a lot of years since we had confidence in the date and the place, and I was hoping that would make it easier on everybody who does the planning and preparation, but they are actually very concerned right now and kind of, I don't know, Leon, you're part of this, like, maybe too concerned about getting higher paying sponsors to support the event just because they're seeing that revenue source kind of shrink. But I think everyone is. It is much harder to get business and corporate sponsorships than it used to be. So they're really focused on that right now. If they could secure a few big ones, they'd be much more comfortable. But it's really hard to do. So they made these beautiful postcards. So we will celebrate that. Yeah.
Where are the postcards go? Is it going out to like potential sponsors and really just many places?
Everywhere. Who doesn't love postcards? I already gave all of the postcards away that I had. I completely forgot that we had board meetings coming up, that y'all might like to have them. So I took them to the county department heads meeting, and they all snatched them up. I'm really sorry, and I'll try to restock for next month.
Restocking seems good. I would definitely like one of my own. Any questions or comments? All right, seeing none, we next have a report about the Alliance for Inclusion and Respect, which there's information on pages 90 to 93. So some promotions developed for the upcoming air activities and film sponsorship within the upcoming Roger Ebert's Film Festival, which I like the I always just call it Ebert Fest, so reminding myself it has a longer, more formal name. Lynn, do you want to share about this as well?
I think it starts the day of your big meeting, April 17. So none of us are going to the opening ceremony. No, we will have. We do have one staff member who will be able to go to that and take one of the AIR members, one of the people who supports the artists. The two of them at least will go and represent us, and yay for that. But we got a bunch of other work to do right here on April 17. But then the festival goes till April 20th. I think that our featured film is going to be maybe be the last one, the Saturday night one, and it's pretty great. It's Omayari. I think that's how you say it. It's a music film by Kishibashi, who's an Athens, Georgia kind of... It's interesting music. It's very lovely, and there's lots of it in the movie. But the issues that this film addresses really have to do with intergenerational trauma experienced by immigrants. So I think, especially given the beautiful study session that we had a couple months ago or a month ago, like this community is probably ready to have some panel discussions on that topic and to see a film that represents kind of a hopeful angle on it. But anyway, the art show is our big once a year. We have, well, twice a year now because we do it at the Expo again. But this is the big focus on the artists with disabilities and all of the art in these pieces was created by them.
Is the movie on the 17th or the 20th?
20th. Oh, okay. We don't really have the schedule, though. Like, they won't have the schedule nailed down for a while. And we've got, like, we're working with them to take a different approach this year where we can just get, like, a bunch of tickets so that the AIR members can, like, take groups of people they serve to whatever movie maybe matches well with their values, and then for y'all to be able to sort of pick from tickets. You know, obviously our film is the big, the most important one of the whole festival.
I guess the 17th would be like the start of the film festival in general.
Yeah.
And then I guess, Lynn, would you share just a little bit about what AIR is? Just kind of more generally?
Well, they used to call it the Anti-Stigma Alliance, and there are a lot of people who wish we still called it that because it's pretty clear what it means. So I think SAMHSA, the Federal Agency on Substance Use and Mental Health, wanted everyone to stop saying anti-stigma and instead use positive language promoting inclusion. So we went along with that. And we still have members who call it the Anti-Stigma Alliance. It is led by the Mental Health Board because you make the major investment. And there are a whole bunch of other partners, including social work, two of the Parkland departments, several of the agencies. Agencies kind of come and go with it as they are able. Who else? Pavilion has been a member from the beginning. So the Alliance members tend to be like they don't always contribute a lot of money to it, but they are at this year they're contributing a lot of ideas and helping us kind of shape what we do. Yeah. Joe, you've been super involved, as has Elaine Palencia.
One of the things I like about using movies is that, I mean, I think Ebert even said, I think I'm going to bastardize what he said, but movies help us, in many ways, start recognizing empathy. And that's one of the things that many of these movies that we've shown have done. And I've been a part of a panel several times. It's a really great opportunity to have conversations about things that sometimes we're uncomfortable to have, but you show a movie, it takes down some of the barriers, and then you start having that conversation.
Thank you for sharing that, Joe. That is echoes a lot of what I feel about the power of the arts to help us to develop empathy and also to really understand mental health different issues in a different kind of in a deeper way. Any other comments or questions regarding the air update? All right, seeing none, we are now moving to kind of our last trek of the evening. So next we have our agency input and successes section. So this is for members of agencies to share with the board. We will limit individual participation to 5 minutes, a total possible participation time of 20 minutes. Are there any members from agencies who would like to share anything with the board? And that includes in person and online. All right. Was that a sound or was that just me taking a breath? Probably just me. Seeing none, we will then move to our board-to-board reports. As you can see a chart on page 94 of the packet, various board members of the Mental Health Board attend other kinds of boards in the community, and I wondered if anyone had anything to share from board meetings they attended recently.
Yes, I do. I've continued to go to the community coalition meetings, and I'll just, in the interest of time, mention three things. We heard time before last from Chief Boone, and he is very big on statistics and took data on where police calls came from in the community and what they were about, and he found domestic violence calls to be, you know, clustered and a lot of them. So he also said he is very big on collaboration, and so he got in touch with Courage Connection and wants to form a kind of a discussion with them and the police department. So that was a very good thing. And then there's some other events coming up, and you could just go to the Community Coalition website to find out about them. I'll just mention, too, on April the 4th, there's a peace walk starting at King Park, and there's things about parking and so on. If you want to be part of that, that you can, I think, get on the website. And then the other bigger thing, I don't know if it's bigger, but different. On Friday, May the 17th, there's a day-long conference, Champaign Neighborhood Network Conference at the I Hotel, and that you register for, and it will feature presentations from city staff, local governing bodies, institutions, and community partner agencies covering topics relevant to maintaining vibrant and engaged neighborhoods. So I've got the QR code here. Anybody wants this? But it sounds like it's going to be all day long, 8 to 5, and, you know, sounds like very, very rich in terms of information. So that's my report.
Thank you very much. Would you mind, like, passing around the QR code? And if anybody wants to take a picture of it, maybe we can even put it on, well, I don't know if we can put it on the screen through a camera so that people on Zoom can do. That might require too much technology.
I feel lucky that I hit record.
Yes. Any other board-to-board reports?
A quick question. How do we get on this list? Do we just show up for a meeting, then let you know we went? Or if I wanted to sit in on these, do I tell you ahead of time? Or how does that process go? Sorry, I'm new.
This is an old This is a tradition, and it is really at the chair's pleasure. And I think that the last few chairs, I'm talking now Dr. Joachim and Joe Masagi and Margaret White, the last three consecutive chairs have felt that board members should attend any agency board meetings that they're interested in and that are convenient to them. And the way to coordinate that would be either directly with the agency, or you could contact Stephanie Howard Gallo, she's right there. Do you want to speak to it, Stephanie? She's right there. I'm in a pinch.
Yeah, if you have something in mind, Chris, just send me an email, and I can put you in touch with the right people and when their board meets.
Perfect, thank
you. And they will probably offer you a tour of the facility if you want that.
Perfect, thank you.
Thank you for asking that question, because I think I was like it was a mystery to me when I first got started. Any other board-to-board reports? Seeing none, next is county board input. Do you have some input for us?
I can input. As part of my work with the Champaign County Board, I do sit on the opioid settlement task force. One of the things that we have spent money on, we're spending a lot of time understanding the opioid epidemic and finding out where unmet needs are in our county, which has been really wonderful, and learning from a lot of great people. One of the things that we have spent money on so far, which might be interesting to y'all and to others, is we have spent money on data collection in the form of the GIS map. I don't know if you've ever played with the GIS map. It's kind of amazing. And Lynn's getting excited. We are just trying to plot where arrests have been made, where people have had overdoses, you know, trying to understand demographic data as far as who this is affecting and who is not being served. So that's an exciting new tool that we are using to collect that data. And with that data, we can also hopefully bring more resources into our community in applying for grants and things of that nature. So I'm really excited to report that. On the agenda tomorrow night for the full board meeting, we have some resolutions regarding RPC, working with the Housing Authority on some new great projects as far as helping folks who are very low income in our communities, and also combating homelessness. So very excited about tomorrow night, and happy to answer any questions that I can.
Sorry, I was using a QR code while you were talking. But thank you. Not the entire time you were talking. I think not at all. No, literally 5 seconds. But it was just happened to be when you were wrapping up. But that GIS tool seems like it's going to be very, very interesting. And I'm sorry if I missed something because of QR code. Where is that being centered, and who is going to be like predominantly like housing that tool and sharing, giving access to that tool?
So it is in GIS, and the link is available. I can forward it. Let me write that down. I believe so, but I will double check on that. It does get a little bit touchy, right? Because it requires that all of the stakeholders are willing to share that information. And as we know, the opioid epidemic is something that isn't necessarily helpful for all entities to share. So trying to figure out how to incentivize that in a way that brings meaningful programming into our communities is going to be really important.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions for Jen? Sure.
I came to one of the opioid meetings, and then I listened to, I think it was the December meeting. And you all made some comments during the December meeting that I think apply to the mental health board too, that there's almost no decision that you can make that's perfect. And, you know, like maybe there was some regret about how long it was taking to spend the money, but I feel like the things that the county board has done so far before spending the money are really meaningful. Like, it is really a good needs assessment that you're all establishing, and the GIS data is beautiful. I hope it's public, because we could probably make use of it here, but anyway.
And just to speak on that, one of the things that you mentioned when you came, Lynn, was getting folks who are personally affected by the opioid epidemic, getting folks who are, you know, in recovery or not in recovery, for that matter, who have opiate addictions to the table to help us with this is going to be so important. And I think we have a lead on that at this point. So that's great. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments? All right, next we will move to Champaign County Developmental Disabilities Board input. Is there any input from the DDB?
They met this morning, and I told them, didn't I, Leon? I told them to, you know, they not to make them like feel sorry for you, but you have about twice as many applications for review and such a diverse set of applications. But each board faces very different and real challenges in this work. So, I mean, their meeting was basically the same information, but they're looking at a lot less, well, not a lot less, but less applications. And so they're being very positive about it, and they might have a little more money available to fund the things than y'all do. So we'll see how it goes. Anyway, yeah, it's kind of in the same place.
Thank you for sharing. Any comments or questions? All right, next we have board announcements and input, so opportunity for any board members to share any announcements or things they'd like to share. Seeing none, we're all very excited to get to the next item on the agenda, so ordinarily we would... Oh.
I think Dr. Lisa has to leave.
Oh.
You have to leave, right?
Okay, so we go ahead. All right, so we would ordinarily adjourn, but we do have other business around the maintenance of closed session minutes. So I would like to entertain a motion to move to executive session, exception 5 Illinois Compiled Statutes, I don't know how to say this number, 120-2C11 of the Open Meetings Act, to review the status of minutes of prior closed session meetings, and that the following individuals remain present: members of the Champaign County Mental Health Board and Executive Director Canfield. Can I entertain that motion?
Yeah.
So move,
yeah.
Can I get a second?
Second, Straub.
All right. All those in favor of moving to executive session, do I have to read it all again? Okay. Of all those in favor of moving to executive session, say aye.
Aye.
All those in opposed, say same sign. Luckily, no one's opposed. So we will be moving to executive session. What this means is that we will be going to the Putman room and take a roll call and have discussion. And our current meeting will the recording turn off?
We're going to keep recording.
Okay, so we'll just, the current recording and meeting will continue with no board members present. And then when our closed session is over, we will come back and reestablish our open session. So that is all.
I see you, Leon.
All right, everyone. I would like to reconvene the open session of the Champaign County Mental Health Board meeting for this evening. Can I get a roll call?
Okay, Stephanie is not on here, so I'm going to do the roll call. Wish me luck. Ready? Lisa Lingens Chambers.
Present.
Chris Miner.
Present.
Molly McClay.
Present.
Joe Omosagie.
Yep.
Elaine Palencia.
Yes.
Jen Straub.
Yes.
All right. That is 7:08. Okay.
Sorry about that.
Oh, no, we're good. Thank you. All right.
All right, everyone. So I'd like to entertain a motion to accept the February 19th, 2020 and February 26th, 2020 closed session minutes as revised, to continue maintaining them as closed and to destroy the recordings of the meetings. Can I get a motion?
Yeah, we got the motion to continue.
Thank you. Can I get a second?
A second.
Many seconds. All right. With that, all those in favor of accepting the February 19th and February 26th, 2020 closed session minutes as revised, continue maintaining this closed and to destroy the recordings of the meetings, say aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The closed session minutes will be revised and remain closed. And with that, I will adjourn the meeting. Thank you so much for being here and have a great evening.